Well, thank you everyone for being so friendly and talkative. It's probably the greatest gift to be able to bring people back in after they want to keep talking. It warms all of our hearts to see that. I'm going to start with our scripture passage for the day here. If you want to find either in the Pew Bible, you can follow along or just listen with your ears. Either one is great. It's in the book of Philippians. And if you ever forget the kind of order of the letters, go eat popcorn is what I always remember. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. So it's right there at the end of the Bible, towards the end. We will read from the third chapter, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yet to know the power of His resurrection and the participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the reading of the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I got to share a little bit about where I'm at presently here in the fall of 2023, but I want to go back to August 2021, and it's actually the year before I was at Treehouse, just to give you a little bit of context. So I was born and raised here in Minnesota, but I was coming back for the first time after high school in August of 2021. I'd been in Chicago for undergrad, getting my degree in youth ministry, and seminary, and then 4 years as a youth pastor out there. And I came back, and my wife and I, Leah, got married that fall. We had this wonderful, cozy apartment on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. If you know where the Kowalskis is there, it was right there. And pro tip, if you've never lived next to a grocery store, it's like a game changer. If you forget an ingredient, you just walk over, and especially like a magical store like Kowalski's, it was so fun. And so I would just grab that little ingredient and head back home. And my wife is a really good cook and a really good baker. And so I would eat that good food. And I look back fondly at that year, that the first year of marriage that we had. As Tim said, I was at Excelsior Covenant as the interim youth pastor. And it was a job that I felt like I was good at, and I was meeting a need, and that things were actually kind of becoming good in a space of work. And so I was really just thrilled that that season of life was at such a sweet space. And so I want to ask you a question to start. Each of you, if you can think back, and maybe the time is today, maybe it's years ago, What time in your life did you feel like things were just working? Like the natural response that you had, or the idea that you were thinking, that it just kind of worked. It was maybe the right situation, maybe the right time of life for you. What's a season of life for you where it just kind of clicked? And we'll come back to that at the end. So I was commuting from St. Paul to Excelsior, and everybody always said the same word when I would talk about that. They said, oh, that's quite a hike. Minnesotans love the word hike when talking about a commute. And so on that hike, I often had time to think and ponder questions, right? And so the interim role I knew was going to come to an end. And so I would think about questions like, what should I be focusing on in my next season of life? And in that, I kind of kept coming back to a question and a thought of, am I becoming stagnant? Am I becoming complacent? Maybe a good word is, am I becoming comfortable? Because things were going well. I was super excited about life. And not to say that, you know, every day was rainbows and butterflies. There's obviously challenges, certainly. But I was kind of feeling like, all right, things are kind of working out. But am I starting to maybe rely more on myself instead of God? And so as that year progressed, Treehouse became more of an option that I thought I would try to consider pursuing. So I applied and I got the job. And in taking the job, I knew it was a different thing than working at a church and the contexts that I had previously had for my job. And so I read this verse, Philippians 3:7, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss. And I kind of went in willing to say that was going to happen. Hey, it's not going to look the same as it did before, and that's okay. There might be challenges, but I'm ready for them. And so the year started, so now we're at August 2022, and as I've reflected back on my first year, kind of going through August of 2023 just a couple months ago, I can confidently say the challenges were harder than I initially anticipated. My wife can attest, like it was kind of a tough year. And it's of no one's fault. It's not Treehouse's fault. I think the world of Treehouse, it's a wonderful organization. And I had for so long been in one space, kind of developing a particular set of skills. And I saw things work in a way that I kind of knew what to do. And then I was placed in this new spot. And when I tried to do some of the same things, they didn't have the same results. And I could see that it wasn't ideal, but I couldn't figure out in moments in my first year of what to do. And I have a story that kind of epitomizes this moment of me kind of trying to have things go well, but seeing them not go the way I wanted to. So it was last spring, and we were going to go to the Minnesota Zoo for actually a scavenger hunt. It's an idea that I came up with. As a youth pastor, you go to the place and you have 26 words, one for each letter of the alphabet and one that is different with each letter. So you have like amphibian is a word, and then basement, and then maybe like caterpillar. And as the teens are walking around the zoo, some of them are going to just be happy to look at the animals and they're going to have a great couple hours. But some of them might get a little distracted or bored. So come up with this competitive game where there's a prize and they try to find the 26 words on some sign in the zoo and they take a picture to win a prize. And so we set up this event. I was actually pretty excited about it because I was kind of in charge of this one. And we got a bunch of snacks and ice cream sandwiches. And we were ready to have a good day at the Minnesota Zoo. So we actually have vans that we go and we pick up teens for our programming. Because at Treehouse, we don't want to have a barrier of a teen not being able to get to Treehouse as a reason for why they wouldn't. So we as staff go out and drive, and I came back first. And so I parked my van, and it had all the snacks and all the treats in the back. And I got downstairs to get the room more settled for the other teens to come when their vans arrived. So we got them all ready to go, and we were heading out into the parking lot to go to the zoo, and I was locking up the church, and I saw that the other two vans of the other two staff were just a lot closer, so all the teens went to those vans to hop in. And so I was like, shoot, okay, now I got to figure out, do I switch the ice cream sandwiches into their van, or do I try to get the teens into my van? Now, there's a really easy, obvious solution of you move the ice cream sandwiches, you don't ask to move the teens. But the problem is I'm just like a really restless passenger. Does anybody know of somebody that's just like a really bad car passenger? They just want the wheel. They want the control. And in that moment, I was like, I just want to drive. And I had the plan. And I'm trying to figure out, do I adapt it or what do I do? And so I realized as I'm getting in the van to move it closer to the other ones, all right, I got to just move the ice cream sandwiches and get in another van. But I'm having all of these thoughts and I'm thinking a little too much. And who's driven a 12 passenger van? Has anybody driven one before? Is it bigger than a sedan, like a normal car? It is. And that means your turns have to be a little bit different than what you do when you're driving a regular car. And my brain was on too many details. I cut my turn too quick and there was a car right here. And I crunched the car. And the car wasn't just a random person's. It wasn't just a church staff member's. It was a teenager's car. And it was a teenager's whose second time coming to Treehouse was there. And so you can imagine what I'm thinking as I back the car up and we try to figure out all the details. I mean, fast forward, insurance is involved. This family who would have loved the use of their car during the time it was fixed was having to navigate that, unfortunately. And I kind of knew that whole path was coming the day that that happened, right? And I still had a job to do. We still had to go to the Minnesota Zoo and have the scavenger hunt. But I kind of felt like a zombie walking through that day because I was thinking to myself, like, Joel, you messed up, man. You were selfish, and if you would have just immediately put the sandwiches into someone else's car, you wouldn't have had this problem. And I was thinking, Joel, you don't have that good of a brain. You can't, like, sort thoughts well. So when two of them are coming and then you have to think about driving, you don't do that well. And I was thinking, that teen's life is now worse because of you. You just made their life harder. Your job is to serve them, and you're not doing that. You're bad at your job. And I was thinking as I was walking through this zoo, and, you know, teenagers make comments, right? We all make comments. And a kid says, I'm bored. And that just, like, hit me like a ton of bricks because I was like, your ideas aren't even that good. You're just trying to do what used to work, and it doesn't work anymore. You've lost your fastball. You got to move on. And I'm walking around the zoo just having these thoughts that are really rooted in the idea that I'm not capable. And it was really tough, and it had been tough before that moment. That's just one example, but there were things that were going on that I was like, you're not capable. And as I said before, we talk to the teens all the time about the fact that they're lovable and they're capable and they're worthwhile. And I couldn't get that in my own head. And truthfully, I still struggle with that. There's days that I really can see it and there's days that I can't. And I imagine you might be in a similar place. But when I read this passage, when I read Philippians 3:7 again, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider them a loss. Like, I, in that moment at the zoo, was really aware of the gains that I had when everything felt like it was going well. And I was aware of all of the losses of Treehouse has to pay more money through insurance now. And this teen has to deal with a car problem. I was aware of all of this struggle and this pain, but I was missing the last part of that verse. I was missing this part that said, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. For the sake of Christ. And unfortunately, it's so easy for us to think about ourselves and to be thinking internally about what my world is, because that's what I see, right? That's what each of us see. And I think the Sunday school answer, the answer of Jesus being our focus is the key here. And that's what I love about this passage that Paul writes in Philippians, is he outlines it so well. He says, there are going to be things that were gains that are going to be lost now for the sake of Christ. And he says, for, let me read this right here, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. But the question that we're all asking is, how do you actually know Jesus Christ? Because there was a time in this world that he walked the earth. That time's not right now. And so for me to know Christ, it's not just a handshake and a cup of coffee. It's something, and Paul outlines it, but it's something that's a little more elusive for us to grab. But as we continue to read, and as you listen here, Paul tells us how to know Christ. Paul writes, I want to know Christ, yet to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Now, that's a hard sentence to follow. I don't blame you if you got confused. But really, Christ says, if you want to know, or Paul says, if you want to know Christ, you got to go through the resurrection, which involves death. If you want to know Jesus, it's not this moment when everything's going well and you're at Kowalski's and you're enjoying your time being a newlywed. It's going to be times that are challenging. And I know when I look around, there's death in our world. And I'm not just talking physical death. There's death of people's expectations. They wanted something to be a certain way, and it's not. There's death of relationships. They're severed. You don't connect in the same way anymore. There's pain in our midst, in our lives. And at Treehouse, when I talked about the support groups that we have, so those are every week, they're pretty simple. It's a chance for a teen to come and say, I'm going to rate my week on a scale of 1 to 10, and then share 3 to 5 emotions that they're feeling. And then they take time to elaborate on why they're feeling those things. And in that, one of our goals, one of our tasks as the facilitators of the group is to try to develop empathy for ourselves and to develop empathy for the teenagers, because we have seen that as such a healing and a powerful and a wonderful thing. And that empathy actually really connects with what Paul is talking. But before I go back to the scripture, I do want to play a 3-minute video. I was going to summarize the words of a wise woman. Her name's Brené Brown. But these 2.5 minutes are going to give you some nuggets to think about the word empathy a little bit more. So what I'd recommend is actually just when you get home, take the 2 minutes to YouTube Brené Brown Empathy, and you can see the video right there. There's even an animation to it that's really wonderful. Brené talks about empathy and sympathy. And the difference between those two is empathy drives connection and sympathy actually drives disconnection. Because if you think about somebody that's going through a struggle, oftentimes they might talk about the feeling kind of being dark, heavy. We could use an illustration of like a hole. And so if somebody's in that hole and you walk by them and you go, oh, that looks really, really tough. Sorry you're in a hole. And you keep walking, that doesn't feel good for anybody. But if you walk down into that hole and you say, I'm going to connect to the pain that you're feeling right now, that is what is the connection and the healing that can come. And so she argues that empathy is actually one of the most vulnerable things somebody can do. Because to actually empathize with somebody, you have to connect inside of yourself with a feeling that's painful. And you have to be able to communicate that and talk with somebody who's feeling that same pain. And so for me, as I talk to the teens about maybe their beliefs that they have that are not healthy and they're wrong, of that they aren't capable, I have to go back into my own head and remember the moment that I turned too early on my turn and I smushed a car. And I thought truly, I am the worst.
Like, I'm not capable. I'm not good at this. And if I can do that and I can talk to somebody, we see it week in and then week out that teenagers really get connected. And I see it as the Holy Spirit connecting them through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have to go into the hard places to be able to truly know Christ. You have to be able to develop that skill of empathy. It's challenging. It's painful. I have to do my own personal work to process and to pray and to see what God is truly telling me, the truths of my life, and not just those things that I feel or I think in a moment, but God has my identity so much more clearly understood than I do. I so just see the temporary, but God knows the eternal. And so I think a lot of times of Easter, right? It's maybe a little early to talk about Easter if we haven't hit Thanksgiving yet. But it's really the framework that we have to understanding Christ's resurrection, right? Good Friday, painful, brutal for a follower of Christ in that time to see their Savior die and to worry and wonder what's going to happen now. I mean, if you were a disciple and you were following God and following Jesus, to be like, what's next? They couldn't just keep reading. They were sitting there on Friday night. They were sitting there on Saturday. We call it Holy Saturday. And wondering what's next. Now, we know the truth of the resurrection and the eternal glory that is to come. And when somebody's in that hole, that place where they need empathy in their life, they probably don't see it the same way. They probably don't need the get out of jail free card just handed that to them where somebody says, oh, just wait, heaven's coming. They need somebody to say, like, I know what you're feeling and I don't even know what to say to you because when I was in that moment, I really struggled with it too. But know that I'm here for you and I'm here to listen. That empathy, that skill is something that I've seen Christ use in so many moments. And I want to close with this, the way that Paul closes out the passage. He writes, not that I've already obtained all of this or I've already arrived at my goal. You know, I'm talking about this really confidently, but you can ask my wife, like, tomorrow I'll probably be thinking I'm incapable just as quickly as I'm thinking, okay, I see what God's doing today. Not that I've already obtained this or I've arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I know that so clearly because I've seen Christ redeem my life and showed me that I'm capable through Him and through the Holy Spirit. And I need to keep trying to take hold of that. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has already called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so as I started off this time together asking you, when is a season in your life that really clicked and it really worked? You know, using Paul's language, that's maybe a gain moment when you were like, oh, that was good. What's the area in your life that maybe if you look and you saw it more as a loss, that loss wouldn't be something negative, but that loss would be something positive because it brought you that surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord? What's the area in your life that you could maybe have a loss in, and that loss would give you so much more than you can ask or imagine because of who Jesus Christ is? And to know Him, you have to go through the resurrection. He died for us. He went through death to connect with us. And so for us to do that to the same, for friends and neighbors that are going to be coming to this church next week, for the people that you interact with daily in your jobs and in your neighborhoods and in the grocery store, I think that's where the Holy Spirit has moved so clearly in my life. And I hope you could see and feel that and the power that it is, because it's a wonderful gift to have. And so let me close in prayer here for our time together. God, thank you so much for today and anything that was of you that has been spoken in this room this morning. God, I pray that those things would be what we focus on going forward. And anything that was not of you, God, let that just stay. Let us not dwell on that. Let us not think about that, God. Let us be so clearly focusing on where you're calling each of us individually, God. And I pray for New City communally. Let that focus be so clear that your discernment would be in each of our lives and in this church's collective body as well, so that you could be glorified and that, God, we can keep pressing on to you, because you have something for each of us and you have something so beautiful for New City, God. Help us follow after that, because there's everything else in the world that pretends to matter, but it's garbage in comparison to you, God. We know that. We claim that. And God, when we forget that, remind us of that truth. In your name, your Son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.